You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
I want to assure the community there's no further threat. We are continuing the investigation here. This is still a very active and dynamic scene, so if you can avoid the area, we would appreciate it. And we'll be providing additional updates in the very near future.
Well, there are victims.
Yes, there are victims. So as you can imagine, the campus is a very large area to cover. Much like we had in the aftermath of 1 October, there's a lot of additional calls coming in that students hunkered down, they're afraid, they're scared. Our officers are going unit by unit, building by building, with university police and the rest of the police officers, firefighters, EMS, and making sure that we don't have any additional victims and or subjects. So we'll be back with you in the very near future to provide an update. Thank you.
It's Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas. Here's your boy Q.
On a day that we did not expect here in Las Vegas, with an active shooter earlier around noon on the campus of UNLV, as you heard Sheriff Kevin McMahill right there coming in. He said there's no threat to the community. Matter of fact, an update from LVMPD on Twitter about 4 minutes ago. No more threat to the community. The suspect is deceased. Right now we know there are three victims, but unknown extent of the injuries. That number could change. We'll update you when we know more. Again, that's from the LVMPD on Twitter approximately 4 minutes ago. And JT the Brick did one hell of a job continuing to update, and Bobby as well did a hell of a job continuing to update what's going on in the community. I know this is not everyone's cup of tea. This is not something that we want to come in and be talking about. Nobody wants to talk about any kind of tragedy in their area. And nobody wants to talk about a tragedy when it involves young people, that's for sure, especially not me, right? I mean, one of the biggest fears that I think every parent has, and I learned this as a young age, when I left the house, my mom always worried about me. To this day, as a 47-year-old man, my mom always worries about where I'm at and what's going on with me. So I can only imagine any parent who has a child that goes to UNLV, what they're feeling right now, the anxiety that they're going through, the concern, the worry that they're going through, knowing that they're loved one, their child, their kid, their teenager, their whatever you want to call it, is on that campus and going through some, you know, and could be potentially going through some things. Again, the latest report and update from the LVMPD on Twitter is the fact that there's three victims and they're not too sure of, you know, the injuries, and they'll continue to update, and we'll continue to update you throughout the course of the show as well. As a matter of fact, we have a couple of people that work at the radio station that actually go to UNLV. Our guy Fenhaus is one of them. Another guy, Magnus, is another. And I just happen to be lucky. Magnus lives two houses down from my house. He happens to live right down the street from Studio Q. So as I'm preparing for the show today, one of my first thoughts are, hey, let me go check on the young man to make sure he was okay. Luckily, he's at home. I'm not his father. I'm his friend. I'm a coworker. But man, what a sigh of relief just knowing that he was okay. Heard back from our guy Fenhaus. He's okay. But as a father that has a son that goes to campus, goes to college at Western Oregon, one of my biggest fears is hearing something like this. And unfortunately, we hear these things far too often, not just here in Las Vegas, but all over the country. So anybody who has a pulse, anyone who is a parent, anyone who has cousins, loved ones, whatever the case may be, I think that that has to be everyone's biggest concern and biggest fear, is that when they send their students off to, or their kids off to school, that they might not get a return home visit. And so that's the biggest fear. So we'll continue to update you. We have a really hell of a show that we had lined up for you, and we'll continue to try to navigate and do the show the best we can. But you have to understand, if we take a pause to get an update from Fox 5, or we give you an update from Twitter of what's going on, because again, this is our responsibility. We are here to update you on sports. We're here to get you caught up on the Raiders, but we're here also to service our community. We're also here to make sure that everyone who is aware, or maybe not aware, of what's going on is now aware of what's going on, and maybe they can reach out to someone. And if you know someone who attends UNLV, maybe shoot them a text real quick, send them a text message real quick, and say, hey, just want to make sure everything is okay. We want to make sure that your family is okay. It's just really important. And these are not shows that we're trained to do. They're not easy. There's going to be you know, a lot of fumbling of words, I'm sure, throughout the course of the show, because it's just not something that's the easiest thing to talk about. And so we're going to do the best we can. Like I said, I think JT the Brick did a fantastic job in the last couple hours trying to keep us up to date. And that's when everything was really, really going on, and a lot of questions, a lot more questions than there were answers. And there's starting to become a few more answers. So Ari's back in the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. I'm at the home studio, Studio Q. Of course, the show is always brought to you by the Jewelers of Las Vegas. Again, part of our community. And we got to make sure that we take care of our community. So every once in a while, Ari will give us an update, or Ari will go live if we need to, and give you updates on what's going on. I know the I-15 has been completely shut down, and I was not here for 1 October, but I know that that's what they did for 1 October when they felt like they had to have a lot of fire and rescue or first responders be able to get and transport easily so they don't have to worry about traffic. So anyone who's stuck in traffic, that's why you're stuck in traffic, and that is a better place to be stuck in traffic than where a lot of these young kids, young children are in at UNLV, on the campus of UNLV, as they're still bunkered down and the buildings are still on lockdown. So, forgive us if we're not in a super cheery mood and we're not cracking jokes and this, that, and the other. It's a different day here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Again, we'll do the best that we can to navigate and still give you your updates on sports. We have some really good guests lined up on the show today, but just understand where we're coming from when we – you know, don't really have the gung-ho, like, just super, like I said, energetic, super excited, super fired up, everything. Because, again, this is something that's very near and dear to our hearts, and it's very near and dear to the community. Again, a quick update, 3 victims, unknown injuries, shooter is deceased, is basically the headline right now. And it could be updated at any time. As far as the guests that we have coming up on the show, at 2:30, Matthew Collar from PurpleInsider.com. He'll join us. We'll talk all things Minnesota Vikings, and we'll get some updates on what's going on with that team. As we know, Josh Dobbs is going to be the starting quarterback for the Vikings heading into Allegiant Stadium on Sunday. And we'll talk all things Vikings, like I said, at 2:30 with Matthew Collar, as, again, we tried to start to turn the page from the bye week into week 14 NFL action and Raider football at Allegiant Stadium, obviously. So that'll come up at 2:30. At 3 o'clock, we have Ari Mayrov from 33rdteam.com. He'll join us, as he does, you know, usually once a week, maybe once every other week, to join us just to talk all things NFL. We'll do that at 3 o'clock. At 3:30, Adam Hill, who went to UNLV. He's obviously covers the Raiders really well. We were supposed to catch up with him yesterday, but we had to kind of push back on that, so he'll catch up with us today. And we'll talk about UNLV and what's going on over there and his feelings, as well as what's going on with the Raiders. And then we have Andre Snellings from ESPN will join us at 4 o'clock to talk about the NBA in-season tournament, as the Final Four teams are set in place, and they'll be playing for an opportunity to win that in-season tournament right here in Las Vegas. So those are the guests that we have planned right now. Now, let me just tell you, things could change quick, fast, in a hurry as we continue to get updates on what's going on over on the campus of UNLV, and every news outlet is there. I'm actually reached out to a couple of the news people. I'd like to get them on the show so we can get a quicker update on what's going on. But until I hear back from them, we'll have to continue to get our updates as we've been doing with Fox 5, just going live with the TV there, and also the internet feed that we have live in the studio. So it's going to be a tough show. I'm just going to tell you that it's not easy to navigate in and out of something that's as serious as this and as tragic as this, and then also talk about sports at the same time. But we're going to do our very best that we can throughout the course of the next 3 hours. Some will enjoy it. I don't mean enjoy. Some will understand it. Some won't. And if you don't, I get it. Then, you know, today's probably not the day for you, and that's okay. I won't hold it against you. But, again, our responsibility as people that live here in the community, people that work here in the community, people that service the community, and this is part of our service duty in the community, is to make sure that everyone is updated whenever there's, you know, phone numbers to to pass along. We can do that, and there's actually, they put the phone number out there. A hotline has been set up for those impacted by the active shooter at UNLV. You can call 702-455-AID. That's 702-455-2433 for reunification and victim services. That's been put out there, and that's being set up as well. So there's going to be a lot to get to in a little bit amount of time. Ari, what I need you to do is just kind of let me know when there's something going on that you see that we need to maybe go to live. I don't think the sheriff is speaking right now, but it looks like he's about to. So as soon as, if you're paying attention, do you have Fox 5 on in the studio?
Yes, up on my computer, yes.
Okay, all right. The sheriff is speaking right now. Why don't we go ahead and get into the opening drive and hear from the sheriff real quick.
Okay.
Southern Nevada. Campuses are all closed out of an abundance of caution. There is no threat to any other campus, but we are doing this out of an abundance of caution. With that, I will turn it over to the sheriff.
I'm Kevin McMahill. I'm the sheriff of the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, and I want to say to the community, there's no further threat. I will tell you that this combined police, state, local, and federal law enforcement, along with the fire department, worked very well. As the chief told you, we do have one suspect down. Of course, we have no idea on the motive. There are a number of victims that have been transported to area hospitals, so I don't want to give you false information and tell you how many victims that we have, but we will be providing that update very, very shortly. I want to assure the community there's no further threat.
Okay, so that was not... I thought that was a brand new, I'm sorry, that's my fault. I thought that was a brand new update. I saw him because I don't have the volume on my TV here at Studio Q. So again, this is hard to navigate. Ari, I apologize for the confusion. That's on me. When I see the sheriff step into the mic, I figured that it was a quick update. So it was not, that was something that we already heard. That's what we heard coming in to the show today. So again, this is going to be very difficult to do. We're going to do very, like I said, the very best that we can, but it is not an easy situation here at all. Again, the hotline for those impacted, 702-455-AID. That's 702-455-2433. So, let's see. With that being said, I'm trying to think exactly what else to navigate. Let's go ahead and jump into the opening drive. I'll throw a couple thoughts out there about the Silver and Black as they got back to practice today, and we'll go from there.
The opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM is brought to you by Paul Padilla. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
So the Raiders did get back to practice today. I had some folks reaching out to me, letting me know about or asking me about the status of Max Crosby. I'm not sure yet. We talked to Coach AP, Antonio Pierce, earlier today, and he said that he's working through things. Obviously, he's been on the injury list every week since, I don't know, about week six with the knee injury. We all heard about the issues that he had going on during the bye week. We saw the pictures of his knee really swollen. Obviously, that's one of the big storylines for this upcoming week is Max Crosby going to be able to go? Is he not going to be able to go? What's the case? But he's got to be able to be as, careful as possible. You don't want to put him out there in harm's way where he could affect himself long term. If he's good to go this week, I'm sure Max will go. If he's not, the team will probably have to do the best they can to protect him from him, because again, he's going to want to be out there at all times. So that was the only update that I had on Max Crosby. Again, when we talked to Coach Antonio Pierce, that was before practice, so that he hadn't really gotten an opportunity to see him. They had showed up, they had some meetings. He said they had some really good meetings, but that was just about it, was the meetings that they had, and then we had an opportunity to talk to him. So when we get to talk with Adam Hill, or when we get the Wednesday practice report back, then we'll be able to, our injury report, we'll be able to tell you what's going on as of there. Real quick, Ari, let's go back to the Fox 5 feed. There's a young reporter that's speaking with they're speaking with someone real quick. So go ahead and...
First responders are investigating. For now, let's send it out to Fox 5's Danny Mastin, who's with a number of families right now.
Yeah, you guys, so we are standing out here with a bunch of students, and I actually found Maria here. She is waiting for her daughter to come out. As you could imagine, a lot of different feelings that you're feeling right now. Touch on that. You know, what's going through your mind in this exact moment?
Well, at this exact moment, I feel a lot better, more calm. I know she's safe. She's still in lockdown, but she just texts me that they're going to be moving them to a different location prior to letting them go. And we don't know how long it's going to take, but I'll stay put until she's out because, first of all, I don't want her to drive. She's been terrified the whole morning, and she's very nervous, very emotional. So, and the last thing is letting her drive. So I'm here to pick her up and, I don't know, go take a tea, drink tea or something to calm her down. And nothing, just here waiting for her.
Just give her lots of love.
Yes,
that's all
I
you
will.
Can do. Now, you were telling me, Maria, that you were in contact with her the entire time. What were those texts exchanged like?
Well, first of all, she was scared, terrified. She didn't know exactly what was going on, where the shooter was. She knew it was close to her building, but not in her building, but still terrified because she didn't know if it was one, two. But then they were talking about three shooters. She was basically just telling me how she was doing, how she was feeling. They were ready to fight if they had to fight. They were trying to find whatever they can use to defend themselves.
As a mom, hearing that, what was that like for you?
Terrifying. I was just home trying to clean the house, and I just got up and put on whatever I could to come and try to be close to the area.
Now, Maria, looking forward, what are you looking forward to the most when you get to be back with your daughter again?
Just giving her a hug and telling her I love her. That's all I can do at this moment. No words needed. I'm sure I'll just run to her and give her a hug.
Maria, thank you. I'm sure it'll be a little bit of a process. They are releasing, students systematically here, so that does take some time.
Yeah.
But I can't wait for you to be reunited with your daughter. So thank you
so much,
you guys. I'll send it back to you in the studio.
Thank you so much, Danny. And
so there you go. You want to talk about terrified? Can you imagine what was going through that mother's mind when she's receiving text messages? The good thing is she's receiving text messages from her daughter, right? Realizing that, okay, she's okay, but still knowing that there's one shooter, maybe there's two shooters, maybe there's three. Just with so much uncertainty, just had no idea. Quick update from the Las Vegas Metro Police Department on Twitter, at LVMPD. The following roads are shut down and you're urged to avoid them. So if you're driving or attempting to drive, Maryland Parkway closed at University Avenue to Tropicana Avenue. Swenson University Drive closed, Tropicana Avenue to Flamingo Road. I-15 is shut down northbound starting at Blue Diamond all the way to Charleston. So just a quick update on what's going on in and around the roads here in Las Vegas. Again, three victims. As of right now, unknown injuries, one shooter deceased on the campus of UNLV. So, again, we'll periodically, as we see fit, we'll definitely continue to go out to the news and hear from the news, get an update. If the sheriff comes back and updates us at all, we'll definitely update you on that as well. I realize that everybody's not in the local area, so it may not affect them. So I know it's a little bit more different. It's different than just being here and knowing that everyone lives in the area, but this is still one of those times that just being a human being, right? Just regular thoughts and prayers and emotions have to run through anyone who's, again, as I started the show talking about, sent their kids off to school, whether it's the middle school, it's a junior high, high school, college, whatever the case may be, anyone who's your child, you want to make sure is always protected and always taken care of. And the scariest thing ever is to find out that they could be in harm's way and there's really nothing they can do except for, as many of these students at UNLV had to do today, bunker down, as UNLV tweeted out, run, hide, fight. Like, those are the words that they're telling them, run, hide, fight, letting them know that it could be bad, and they've got to do everything that they can to take care of themselves as the campus is trying to protect them as well. But with so much uncertainty, it just had to be something that was a very scary moment. And again, that's got to be a parent's worst nightmare. And I know that it's something that crosses my mind all the time when my son was being recruited to go to Western Oregon. One of the first things I asked the coach was, well, how safe is the campus? What's the campus life like? And a lot of times you don't think about those kind of things, but you have to think about those kind of things. And it becomes way too common to happen all across the country. You know, we've had plenty of former players, athletes on talking about different things that happen in their communities as well that are like this, that have impacted them. And it's never easy to talk about. It's never fun to talk about. But, you know, this is why we're here. We're here as an outlet as well. And so if you know anyone who, you know, has someone over on the campus of UNLV, definitely send your love and prayers to them and hope that they're okay and reach out to them to make sure that they're okay. But it's definitely a very sensitive time and a very sensitive subject that's going on right now. What we'll do is we'll take a quick break. Ari, we'll come back. We'll, you know, we'll get into a little bit of Antonio Pierce sound, and then we'll talk to Matthew Collar from PurpleInsider.com. We'll talk a little Minnesota Vikings, and if we have another update from the streets of Las Vegas, we'll definitely do that as well. It's a different day here. It's not the normal edition of Unnecessary Roughness, but again, we're going to do our best to do our very best. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
That was the opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Brought to you by Paul Padilla. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by PortaSubs. Make sure you check out PortaSubs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh-baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area PortaSubs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
I want to assure the community there's no further threat. We are continuing the investigation here. This is still a very active and dynamic scene, so if you can avoid the area, we would appreciate it. And we'll be providing additional updates in the very near future.
Thank you. There are victims.
Yes, there are victims. So as you can imagine, the campus is a very large area to cover. Much like we had in the aftermath of 1 October, there's a lot of additional calls coming in that students hunkered down. They're afraid. They're scared. Our officers are going unit by unit, building by building, with university police and the rest of the police officers, firefighters, EMS, and making sure that we don't have any additional victims and or subjects. So we'll be back with you in the very near future to provide an update.
You're listening to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
You heard the sounds of the sheriff right there saying that there is no other threat to the community, which is great news. Quick update, he said that there were victims. There are 3 victims that they're saying right now. There's unknown injuries. Shooter is deceased. Again, that is the update as of now. It's a really different day here in Las Vegas with the shooting happening around noon on the campus of UNLV. In a couple of minutes, we're going to turn our attention to the Minnesota Vikings. We'll have Matthew Collar from PurpleInsider.com, real good friend of the show. He'll join us to talk about the Vikings. Just give us our first little update. Again, we're going to kind of navigate in and out of what's going on here in town and also with what's going on in the sports landscape as well. But I did want to go ahead and pass along a couple text messages. This was from 815 Raider at 702-365-9200. And that's probably the way to communicate with the show today. If you want to be honest about the situation, the don'tbebroke.com text line is probably the best way to get a hold of us. 702-365-9200. 815 Raider said prayers for all involved. My man Carlos Ortega said, Q, prayers to all the parents out there. I kind of know what their feelings are since I was kind of in the area when Route 91 shooting happened, driving Uber, and I helped 2 young ladies to get away from the area. Prayers and support. This one is from Sir Whiskey Ray. Q, just hearing the breaking news at UNLV, sending prayers on this. It's unfortunate that we have to deal with this. From the sounds of it, no further threat, which is encouraging news for the community. Sending prayers from the Bay Area to Vegas. That's from Sir Whiskey Ray. Raider Mike in Colorado, Q and Ari, appreciate you both as always, but especially for giving us the news on things that are more important than football. I want to send my condolences to every party involved in that shooting. Not one individual deserves to go through that type of evil. Raider Nation, every individual that listens to this show, please hug your family members tight and let them know that you love them. Much love from Raider Mike in Colorado. And then this was from 805 Raider. I went to my first game at Allegiant this year because a friend died shockingly in October, and I told myself I can't go another day without seeing Allegiant. Got to live for today because tomorrow's not promised. That's from 805 Raider. Thanks so much for all those texts. I do appreciate that. And that is something that is very important and very accurate, what was said by Raider Mike in Colorado. You know, everyone listening, hug your family members tight, man. Let them know that how much you love them, what they mean to you, because you're right. You know, when they leave your house, and I say this all the time, the last thing I tell the wife, the last thing I tell Lil Q, I tell Lil Sarah, whoever's leaving the house, hey, be safe, right? And I know that they probably think, oh, that's overbearing father, right? But that's real. Like, hey, be safe out there, not just from you, but everyone around you, because you just don't know. And, you know, it's the news that you don't want to get. And we heard earlier from the mother of the young lady that was stuck in school and stuck in basically on lockdown, which is good because she was alive and communicating with her mom, which is good news, but you can hear the fear in her voice. So again, we'll continue to update you of what's going on on the campus of UNLV as we get information. Join us now on the phone lines for purpleinsider.com is our good friend Matthew Collar. And Matt, thanks so much for your time. And sorry, it's a weird kind of strange day here in Vegas with the shooting on the campus of UNLV, and we're trying to get as much update as possible, but we also want to get an update of what's going on with the Minnesota Vikings as they're coming to town. So thanks for bearing with us. We do appreciate you. Coach O'Connell, he announced that Dobbs is going to be QB number one. They're going to stick with him, even though he's turned the ball over a handful of times in the last couple of games. Do you think that that was the right decision to stick with Josh Dobbs?
Yeah, I do. And I respect the difficulty of your radio transition there. So my thoughts are with everybody there. Just want to say that first. Just from flipping that switch to back to football, I do think it was the right decision to stick with Josh Dobbs, because when you look at the other options, and I mean, you know, Nick Mullins was briefly with the Raiders, and I mean, what's the real upside to starting Nick Mullins? I mean, the best you can do is just to hope that he kind of survives, you know, doesn't turn the ball over. But even then, when you look at Nick Mullins' history, he's thrown a ton of interceptions.
Right.
And then Jaren Hall is a fifth-round draft pick who has played two series, didn't really have a very good preseason, didn't really have a very good training camp. Like, there's really no evidence to suggest that he could do any better. So the best option that they had was to try, during the bye week, as much as they possibly could, to look at all the film, look at all the data, and say, what works for this guy? Where has he been the best during his brief career as a starter here and even with the Cardinals? And how can we kind of put all that together with what we have as an offense, what he knows as an offense? And then, oh, by the way, you know, Justin Jefferson is coming back as well, and you need somebody to be able to, you know, gel quickly with Jefferson because he hasn't played any games with Josh Dobbs. I would say this is quite a challenge, and we see around the league, like, shouldn't be any surprise when you look at the top of the standings, you go, oh yeah, almost all of those teams still have their quarterbacks healthy. And that's what makes this tough. But we got two backup quarterbacks going up against each other this week. So, you know, I think the Vikings still do feel good about their chances in Vegas.
You know, and Josh Dobbs, I think, is a really good quarterback. I wouldn't say that he's some great quarterback, but he's serviceable and he's done a pretty good job there. One thing is interceptions, but for me, it's the fumbles, and not just while he's been in Minnesota, but just all together. Why does he fumble the ball so much?
Yeah, one part of that is when there's a botched snap, the quarterback gets a fumble, and I think there's been maybe four. So when you look at the numbers, you're like, wait a minute, this guy's been fumbling the ball all over the field. But you're talking about a new center, a new quarterback exchange, and there's just been a couple times where the ball has hit the ground. So that's some of it, but that's not all of it. I mean, the thing is that one of the great, you know, the great running quarterbacks, one of the things that they usually do really well is they know when to run, when not to run, and how to protect the football and so forth. Well, Josh Dobbs is very talented when it comes to running, but I don't think he's Lamar Jackson. I don't think he's Mike Vick, Randall Cunningham.
Right.
And he can be a little reckless. And it's when do you actually take off, and when do you just take a sack? That's been something that he's really struggled with, because there's been times, and he got a really terrible intentional grounding penalty where he was trying to escape and trying to do too much and then was dragged down and just tried to whip the ball out of bounds. We've seen that way more than you see it with the really good running quarterbacks. And how can you just coach someone or tell someone, hey, you know, in those moments, put two hands on the ball and just go down? Because playmaking quarterbacks want to make plays, and they feel like that's what makes them exceptional, is their ability to think that the play is over, think that they've been sacked, shake somebody off. I mean, against Denver, he had a highlight reel play where he shook off the pass rush of, I think it was an outside linebacker or defensive end, and then threw a touchdown and was like, wow, what a play. But also, that's a few inches away from a strip sack as well.
Right.
And that's where you live when you have Josh Dobbs. So Kevin O'Connell wants to control everything when it comes to his quarterback. He wants it to be like Madden, where he's just pushing the buttons. And it was definitely that way with Kirk Cousins. But you just have to kind of hold on to your butt sometimes with somebody like Josh Dobbs, because you can try all you want to limit the mistakes. But I think with someone like him who's a journeyman, you're always going to have those ups and downs.
Yeah, no, you really are. And, you know, Matt, I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, it feels to me like the story of the Vikings season has been turnovers. And that was before Josh Dobbs. That was even going back to game number one. Like, I feel like they lost the first couple games of the season due to having so many injuries. Has that just kind of been what's plagued the Vikings the most this year?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, because I sort of made the joke, like, they sold their soul for last year, right, for all those last-minute wins to get to 13 last season, because they came out and were fumbling at, like, a historic rate. And the NFL puts out this sort of luck metric now where it shows, like, fumbles, drop passes, like, things that are literally just bounces of the football. And they also haven't recovered that many fumbles, which is also just a weird quirk. But the Vikings are dead last. Like, they've had the worst luck when it comes to drop passes and fumbles based on win probability of when those things have happened. And that included where they had a dropped pass in the end zone by T.J. Hockenson that would have won them a game on the very final drive in the waning seconds against the Los Angeles Chargers. It's been that kind of season. But also, since Kevin O'Connell got here and even before that, when you don't have a top-notch quarterback, when you're always kind of playing with someone like Kirk Cousins, it's really good, but you know, isn't putting up 30 points every week, you play in a lot of close games, and then you just have to hope that you get fumbles, that you get bounces, that guys don't drop passes and so forth. It's playing on the razor's edge constantly. And last year, we only saw one side of the razor's edge, but this year, you know, we've kind of seen both sides of it, where they've had games that, you know, maybe they should have lost, but they returned a fumble for touchdown or something. And, you know, we thought that Chicago game was going to be one of those where they somehow escaped it. Justin Fields ends up leading a very rare game-winning drive for him. I think this team feels like, as a roster and as a coaching staff, that they should be better than 6-6, if not for those things in the Denver game. Their fumbling really killed them at the end of that game. But at the same time, like, you know, if you're a mediocre team, then these are the things that impact you more. And, like, I think 6-6 is basically who they really are.
Matthew Coller, PurpleInsider.com, has joined us here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Unnecessary Roughness. Last season, it was the Vikings couldn't stop anyone, right? The defense was really bad. They bring in Brian Flores to be the defensive coordinator. Things have clearly changed. How much has he helped this team defensively, being the DC there in Minnesota?
Oh, I mean, it's just been an immense, immense impact. There's just, when you look at that roster, and Kevin O'Connell even admitted this himself, that when you looked at that roster going into the season, there was no way you would come up with this being a top 10 defense. You just couldn't. You couldn't convince yourself that with all the talent that left, Patrick Peterson, Eric Kendricks, Za'Darius Smith, Delvin Tomlinson, like, those are star players. Those aren't just, average dudes. And replacing them are a bunch of guys no one's ever heard of, including an undrafted free agent linebacker who's starting, a former sixth-round pick in Josh Metellus, who's playing this hybrid role, Cam Bynum, who's a safety that's become one of the better safeties in the league this year if you look at the PFF grades. I mean, it's really it's been an incredible transformation. I think it's really spoken to how good he is at evaluating what players do well, and then his schematic creativity, where he's running something that's pretty unique in the NFL, where it's a lot of all-out blitz or all-out coverage, and there's not a whole lot in between. So opposing quarterbacks are either facing an extra pass rusher or two, or they're facing drop eight, and you don't know which one it's going to be based on the pre-snap look. So players are moving all over the place before the snap. You got guys lined up in lots of different places. It's really been something to see. And I think what you see there is the true impact of what a creative and really good evaluating defensive coordinator can do.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a really good job. And Danielle Hunter is a guy, and I'm not going to lie, Matt, I was hoping that the Vikings were going to trade him at the trade deadline, as I'm sure many teams were hoping that they were going to do. He's still there in Minnesota. All he's doing is leading the league in sacks right now. What have you seen from Danielle this season, and what do you think the future holds for him? Are they going to re-up him? Are they going to move him on somewhere else? What do you think the future holds for Danielle?
Yeah, that's going to be really tricky in the offseason because, you know, if they had extended Danielle Hunter before the season, then you'd feel pretty good about it, right? Mm-hmm. But having not done it, and now he's leading the NFL in sacks, well, he's going to want top-notch dollars. And I think that the Vikings are going to put a price on Danielle Hunter and what they expect from him in the future, and they're not going to cross it. But that may very well mean losing Danielle Hunter. And then who's your pass rush? Like, they don't have any other pass rush. I believe third on the team in sacks is Harrison Smith with three. So it shows you just how much Danielle Hunter has been a very high percentage of their pass rush and their only real rusher on the defensive line. But, you know, going into the future, they've just got some really tough decisions salary cap-wise. Do they want to bring back Kirk Cousins? Because if they do, that's probably $40 million plus. Justin Jefferson, they didn't extend him last offseason. That means they have to do it now, which means that's another $30 million plus per year. And Christian Darrisaw, their left tackle, that's all the premium positions, price tag-wise, and you just can't pay everyone. But as far as why it's worked out is because he's Danielle Hunter. I mean, it's right. Never – every time he's been healthy, it's never not worked out. He is just such a physical monster, but also somebody who is – consistently improved and improved and improved as he's gone along, and you're seeing it all come together. But he has got to be, aside again from the injuries, one of the most consistent pass rushers in the NFL since he came into the league.
Did you think that he was going to get moved, or was that just outside people like myself with wishful thinking?
I did not think that he was going to get moved at the time, but that was different when they were 1-4. When they were 1-4, I thought that he was. And, you know, when you look how it's all played out, maybe there was a case for moving him, because if they can't extend him, then what? You get a third-round comp pick, in 2 years?
Right.
Is that good? Like, not really, in comparison to maybe a second-round pick that you probably could have got if you were 1-4. And then also, if they don't make the playoffs, it looks even worse for them, because you really kept him here to try to make the playoffs. But there were other dynamics at play. I mean, this locker room was really buying in and believing in coming back from 0-3 and seeing what they did in beating the Green Bay Packers. I think the week before the trade deadline really convinced them, like, we gotta go on and fight. We don't want to look like we're tanking to this locker room that's really bought into O'Connell. So there's other dynamics there. But in hindsight, I think it's easy to say, you're not a Super Bowl contender. If you're not going to extend them, you should have moved on. But maybe that extension is still possibly open if they can work it out.
That was the game that caught my attention. I'm glad you mentioned that, the Packers game. When they won that one, I thought, you know what? I think this may change the dynamic of what they're going to do with keeping guys in there on their roster or trading them off right before the trade deadline. Well, we'll close out with this, and we'll go and focus in on the game coming up on Sunday. Of course, Aiden O'Connell is the rookie quarterback. Brian Flores likes to bring the house all the time. The Vikings are blitzing, and more blitzing. How do you think he attacks the Raiders' offense defensively? What do you think he's going to do, especially with a rookie quarterback in Aiden O'Connell?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those old football sayings of, like, you cover against the good ones and you blitz the bad ones. Well, I guess you can decide which one you think Aiden O'Connell falls under.
Right.
But, no, I think that we're going to see a very, very aggressive approach here from Brian Flores. And they also know that, like, Josh Dobbs may perform better than he did against Chicago. But if they're going to win games down the stretch, they need their defense to be at the top of their game, and they probably need to force some turnovers. And you usually do that by being aggressive. But the one area that I think Aiden O'Connell could have a chance is if he can get rid of the ball quickly to Devontae Adams. And I know, what a hot take, right?
Right.
But the one shortcoming we have seen is if a quarterback is able to get the ball out quickly. Because a lot of it is playing way back or playing super aggressive, and the middle of the field has been a little soft for this team. And they've faced a lot of quarterbacks they've had success against that don't get rid of the ball quickly, like Justin Fields last week. You know, he takes sacks, he tries to run a lot. So if there's like a, you know, I think the best quarterback performance was Justin Herbert against this team, and I know that's not Aiden O'Connell, but he just kept working the ball to his number one wide receiver underneath, and they were able to move the ball more effectively than anybody else. So it's not that they are perfect, but I think it's a really tough task for an inexperienced quarterback.
That's a really good nugget, though, something to pay attention to in this game coming up on Sunday. Matthew Collar, PurpleInsider.com, fantastic stuff. What are you working on that we should be on the lookout for, maybe get a little bit more intel on the Minnesota Vikings?
Going inside, at least what I'm working on right now, writing, is going inside the decision of keeping Josh Dobbs a quarterback, what went into that. So people could check out Everything's Housed at PurpleInsider.com if they want to take a look at that.
Good stuff, as always, my man. Thanks again. Again, sorry it's a kind of a weird day here, but I appreciate you making some time for us.
All good. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There he goes. Matthew Collar, PurpleInsider.com. Definitely appreciate him giving us a little bit of insight of what's going on with the Minnesota Vikings. And, yeah, we'll continue to obviously do a lot more deep diving coming up tomorrow and Friday as we get ready to head into the weekend and head into Week 14 action at Allegiant Stadium, the Vikings and the Raiders. But I wanted to get that quick update right there from Matthew Collar. We definitely appreciate his time. Speaking of time, 2:45 is the time. You want to hit us with some feedback. The DontBeBroke.com text line is probably the best way to hit us up today at 702-365-9200. Again, 702-365-9200. We'll come back. We'll give you an update of what's going on in the streets of Las Vegas. It looks like there's a little bit more of an update, so we'll do that. And I'll close out hour number one. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
On the DontBeBroke.com text line at 702-365-9200, Poncho P said, "We the people of the United States cannot get immune to situations like this. When is enough enough?" Poncho, fantastic text. I have been asking the same thing for a very long time. And if you're just now tuning in to Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 and you haven't heard, there was a shooting at the campus of UNLV around noon this afternoon, Pacific time. And we know, as a matter of fact, right now there's at least three victims, unidentified injuries, and one suspect. And it sounds like there's only one suspect. One suspect has been deceased. So that's what Poncho is referring to. When is enough enough? I've been asking that for a very long time. When is enough enough? This has become something, you're right, we are way too immune to. We are almost numb to, oh, there was a school shooting? Of course there was, right? I mean, it's like it's almost become too normal for us, and that to me is a scary, scary thought. So we've been kind of navigating in and out of what's going on and trying to update everyone what's going on with this situation. Brad in Concord said, "Hey, Q, thoughts from the East Bay to Las Vegas. I may sound like a full paranoid individual, but I have something like this on my back of my mind anytime family leaves the house. Seriously unfortunate, and I hope everyone is well. This shows how football can abruptly take a back seat." That's Brad in Concord. And, yeah, you're spot on about that, my man. It's really tough to do a sports show, a three-hour sports show, when you know that there's bigger things than sports going on right now. And the good thing about sports, what I've learned a long time ago, is sports is a getaway as well, and it helps you kind of clear your mind as well. But I'm not going to get away and clear our mind to the point where we ignore things. That's what I won't do. So, again, I said at the top of the show, this may not be the show for everybody today. I understand that. I will not get offended by that. But this is the show for us today. That's what it's going to be. And so we'll continue to update you. We've been paying attention and monitoring with Fox 5 News. And matter of fact, let's go ahead and go back out. And I believe it's Mariah Janos. I got to check for sure. But from Fox 5 Vegas, I believe she's on the streets of Las Vegas doing as much reporting as possible. And I think she's with a student of UNLV right now.
She is by the student union. Mariah.
Yeah, you guys, I'm right across the street on Maryland, and I have here with me a junior at UNLV, Brianna, who was actually in the student union building when the shooter entered. Brianna, can you just walk me through your experience?
So I just immediately came out of class, and I went straight to the bathroom in the student union, just like anything normal. I had my headphones on, so I couldn't hear what was going on outside. And then I realized that the bathroom was empty. I got a notification from my phone that there was an active shooter. I went and peeked out the door, and I saw the whole student union was disheveled. There was food thrown everywhere. The glass was broken. There were things, like, brought down, and I didn't know what to do. So I started texting friends, and I jumped up on the toilet trying to make sure my feet aren't shown. And I heard the gunmen started, like, coming closer in the direction of the student union, and they ended up going inside of the building. And I have a clip of where I can hear them shooting, and I was just freaking out, crying. I didn't know where my friends were. They were on the other side of the building. I was the only one in the bathroom. And then later, eventually I heard the SWAT team, and they got me out of the bathroom. But I couldn't decipher whether if it was the team or if it was the shooter. And it was a lot. It was a lot. And there was an event going on right outside of the student union, like, minutes before. And then all I could think about is, like, there were, like, 50 people outside a moment ago, and now there isn't. And I don't know if any of them got hit. I don't know who got hurt. Some of my friends are not answering their calls. Some of them did. I don't know enough about it. All I know is I was just there, and then all of a sudden everyone's gone, and I find out that a bunch of people got shot. And that's about it.
I'm so sorry you had to experience all of that, but how are you feeling in these moments now that some time has passed? Is it still just as unfathomable as what you just experienced?
If anything, I feel like it's almost worse now, because I was in shock, and the police actually had to, they needed me to keep my stuff there. So I was just shocked at the fact that I didn't have my things with me. And then later I kind of process it and then realize.
So there you go. Mariah Janos right there from Fox 5 News with a young lady that was clearly right there when everything was going down. And you can hear the emotion in her voice. And if I had listened to a couple more seconds, I'd probably be emotional right now too. I mean, that is just something that I can never imagine what that feels like. And none of our students, none of our kids should ever have to feel that type of way, where she's standing on top of a toilet not knowing if whoever's coming in is someone to help her or to hurt her. Prayers to her and prayers to everyone on the campus of UNLV who's been affected or know somebody who's been affected. 2:55 is the time. We'll come back, kick off hour number two of Unnecessary Roughness with Ari Mabrov. Little NFL talk with 33rdteam.com on Raider Nation Radio 920.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.